Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. And reading to verse 52. Amen. Thank God. If you have it, say amen. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's quick, isn't it? At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Thank God. Brother Starnes was really at just a low feeling there for a moment when I went to see him, because he said, I try so hard to walk. I wish I could walk again. He said, but I just can't get this body to do it. I said, Brother Starnes, I said, but it won't be long and you'll have a new body. You'll be changed for eternity. And oh, he began to worship God when I said that. And he began to magnify God, because he knew, amen, that after death, amen, there would be a change that would take place. Hallelujah. That's the change, Brother Juan, that we really are after, is to be able to have that change. Not that anybody's interested in dying right now. I want to go ahead and live a little bit longer. But the change from the earthly to the heavenly. When that last trump sounds, we want to be caught up with him, don't we? We want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joys of the Lord. We sure don't want to hear him say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Amen. We've got to have change. Amen. Lord, I love you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the presence that we feel in this place. I thank you for your word. I ask that you would touch our hearts tonight, Lord. Anoint me as the messenger, Lord. I need your help right now. And I pray that the hearts would receive your word tonight in your precious name. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord one more time as you being seated. Changed. That's what I want to talk to you tonight about, changed. It is our goal as children of the Lord to be changed. When we begin to walk this newness of life, we begin to go down this new path of righteousness. We lean on him because we have to have a change in our life. Most of us, if not all of us, I would say all of us really, when we come to God, we come to him because we want a change. We want something in our lives that's new, that's fresh, that's repaired. Anybody needed something in your life to be repaired before? You needed a good repairing. Amen. And God will give that change. And God will allow a child of God to be changed in his presence. When we get into the presence of God, it's at that time that we can feel something stirring us up on the inside that's allowing true change to take place. Amen. Something that's inside of our heart that's working there and allowing us to do things that we maybe not would normally do whenever we were living for the devil. But now, because we live for God, we find ourselves not having a problem doing that, which is holy and righteous unto God. And I want to draw your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 1 and read on through verse 7. I pull this scripture out quite a bit whenever I'm talking about change. I don't know, I like the context of it. I like the story, and I like the eagerness of Hezekiah when he began to reign. But 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 1, the scripture says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. So he was 25 years old when he began to reign in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. So the first thing that we see in this scripture setting is that Hezekiah did right in the sight of the Lord. I would tell you tonight that if you will do right in the sight of the Lord, amen. I want you to know that there's no devil in hell that can keep you from your victory. Amen. Amen. If you walk in righteousness, amen. I'm not talking about unrighteousness. I'm talking about righteousness. Amen. I know that we all, our righteousness is as filthy rags, but I want you to know, saints of God, tonight, amen, you can do with everything with inside of you to do what you know is right. Amen. And God will step on the scene. He will perform great works and great miracles in your life. Praise God. And change will take place. I'm not who I used to be. Amen. I might have done everything that they said I used to do. But friends, saints of God, I'm not the man that I once was, because I have received change in my life. Amen. It was, amen, change that came from an almighty God that allowed me and gave me a divine strength that comes from heaven to be able to do what I need to do. Amen. Hezekiah did right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. The scripture in verse 3 says that he, in the first year of his reign, hallelujah, and the scripture tells us that he reigned 9 and 20 years. Amen. So 29 years he reigned. But the scripture says in the first year of his reign, amen, that he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. The first thing that Hezekiah realized was that they were broke. That's the first thing that we need to realize, is that we are broke and we need God to fix us. Hallelujah. He prepared them in the first year, in the first month that he became in charge. He didn't let things go for another 5 or 10 years. Amen. He fixed what was broke right then. Amen. Can I be mad enough at the devil tonight? Amen. Amen. To tell you that when you decide it's time to take charge and take the control out of the devil's hand, amen, you'll start seeing change, and the devil won't be able to do anything about it. Amen. We've got to get in our minds that you're not in charge of my life, that I am run and I have God controlling and dictating what I do. Praise God. Hallelujah. The scripture says that in verse 4, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Amen. We've got to get the filthiness out of the holy place. Amen. You can't expect change for the good to take place in your life whenever you totally, amen, are being consumed with things that are not of God. You can't expect to have a spiritual ear when you have the worldly music and the worldly stuff coming into your ear and you're expecting to have a spiritual ear and hear from God. Amen. It don't work that way. You can't expect to have spiritual eyes when all you're doing, amen, is setting worldly and stuff in front of your face. Amen. And expect to have spiritual eyes. God help us to be right. God help us to do what we need to do. He called for the elders of the church and said, get this filthiness out of here. Amen. Sometimes we need to go through our homes and we need to do a filthiness check. We need to see what's in our homes that are not godly. We need to see what's in our home that's not righteous. We need to see what's in our home, amen, that we might not even realize is there, amen. If you would take an account of what you have in your home, you'd be surprised at the stuff that's in there that is not godly. Hello. Amen. My pastor, he always said them little imps are like hitchhikers. They hitchhike on things. Amen. I don't want anything that's not of God in my home. I want my home to be right. I want my home to be a place of refuge. I want my home to be a place that my children can come to and not hear hollering and screaming and fussing and fighting and bickering. I want my home to be a place where they feel safe, where they know that there is a divine spirit that's there in the time of need. I don't want, amen, my children to come home and every time they see mama and daddy get into a situation, they begin to holler and scream. But I want my children to see that in our home, we've tried to remove all of that. And we don't do that, but yet we do this. We come together and we begin to pray together. And we begin to seek the face of God together. Amen. And watch things take place. Watch things heal. Watch things come together. Amen. Praise God. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burnt incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto God of Israel. It sounds like they've just shut the doors of the church. Amen. Sounds like they've just neglected the house of God. Yeah. Lord forbid that my children find that I have shut the doors to the altar. Lord forbid, amen, that I have sent up offerings, amen, and worship to my God no more. But, amen, I've got to build monuments for the kingdom of God. Amen. We've got to build and establish places in our life that our children know the direction to an almighty God that will hear their cry and hear their plea in a time of sadness, in a time of discomfort. Amen. We've got to build that within our children. Amen. We've got to have representations from the church.
Went to a banquet the other night, Friday night, and my co-brother Neil and sister Estella, as they gave honor to different leadership in their church.
Amen. And they gave honor to the elder, the board members of the church, the pastoral committee there, and the first thing I noticed was they were all three elder. They were all three older in their years. They were, you could tell their bodies were worn, but yet they were still faithful, weren't they, Brother Neil? You could tell that they were worn down and they couldn't run a leg race with you no more. And they probably couldn't get out and play softball, football with you no more. But when it come to the things of God, amen, they were still just as faithful to the house of God as they were when they were a young man. Their shout might not be like it used to be. Amen. Their excitement, amen, might not be able to accelerate to the level that it once was. But their spirit is still there. And I made a mention to Brother Neil and I said, you know, what happens when they die out? I believe it was you or my wife. It might have been both. What happens when they die out? Will there be somebody that they'll be able to hand the torch to? Amen. That will have put some monuments down. This says when you come to this place, amen, amen, you can rejoice in the Lord because He'll show you the path to take. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there going to be somebody to take the torch away from them elders as they pass from this life and go into that life of the heavenly? Praise God. I pray that there is. I begin to think of the elders in our church back home. They're all gone. Amen. Thank God there's some that will take up the banner. That will take up the torch. That'll say, as for me and my house, we're going to live for God come hell or high water. Hallelujah. That'll stand up and they'll realize when something's broke and go, it's broke. And today, not tomorrow, not next year, but today, we're going to repair it. Today, we're going to do something about it. Amen. Today, we're going to exercise our faith. Amen. We're going to put some works with our faith. And we're going to see something done because God's with us. We're not by ourselves. We're not by ourselves. You got Daddy with you. We got the Heavenly Father on our side. Amen. He's the best thing going. Hallelujah. Children, amen. Amen. They're young. They're full of energy. We need to have people of every age group. Amen. He always comes and helps me preach. That's good. Hallelujah. But the old, amen. They have wisdom. They have experience. Amen. They have wisdom that we can glean from. So they're important. Hallelujah. The babies are important. The old elders are important. Hallelujah. But we also got to have, amen, young people. Amen. We got to have young adults. Hallelujah. We got to have our children. They need to see example of mama and of a daddy. Amen. That would teach them by example, not by word, but by example on how that we're to act in church. Amen. And how we're to conduct our lives with holiness and righteousness unto God. Amen. We need children that can see a good godly example of how that we are to give of our time and of our finances to the kingdom of God and how that we are to worship and to lift up His name. Amen. Even in the good, even in the bad, and even in the ugly. Amen. Because God is still worthy of praise and honor. God hasn't changed. God doesn't need to change. We need to change. Amen. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Saints of God, we just got to clean out our homes. We got to clean out our vessels and say, God, I'm willing to do what I need to do, but I've got to have a touch. I've got to have a miracle. I've got to have something that touches my life, that changes me until the trumpet blows. Hallelujah. The ultimate change that I want, Sister Rodriguez, is when the trumpet blows and I'm caught up in the twinkling of an eye. But until that day, saints of God, I myself have got to have change within my heart. I believe the world is sick and tired of watered down church.
I believe the world is sick and tired, amen, of watered down Christianity. I believe it's time that the church of the living God, they walk it, they talk it, they live it, and they don't care what anybody thinks or what anybody wants to look at them. I have got to change in my life. Yeah, it's the real deal, and it's available. Praise God. I might do something halfway, but God don't do anything halfway. He does it all the way right. Amen. Amen. But we need monuments. Amen. We must keep the God stuff maintained. When you see your Bible reading start to slack off, you got to maintain. We got those Bible charts on order, Sister Karen. Tomorrow. This year we're going to start our Bible reading. I've missed it the last couple of years. I apologize. I'm going to push you this year. I want to see us. If y'all was preaching as hard as I was, you'd be wanting the air conditioners on too. Praise God. But we need to keep the God stuff maintained. We can't afford to be lazy in this hour. Bodily ease is the sad place of many spiritual diseases. Amen. Amen. Where's your worship at? Where's your monument? Where's your change? It takes effort on your part to see change. Amen. God will help you pull down the strongholds if you'll let Him. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Scripture says, for though we walk in the flesh, everybody pinch yourself. You feel it? That's flesh. Scripture says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. Hallelujah. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Anybody feel like they got some strongholds on you? They can be pulled down. Hello. Hello. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience. Everybody say the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if you got that scripture. Amen. But here's the deal. Our weapons. Amen. Our artillery, if you will. Amen. Amen. That we, through Christ, have. Amen. We have divine power to destroy strongholds. The artillery, the weapons that we have that are given to us by God, they are not weapons of the flesh. Hey, come on. I believe we got a good military here in the good old U.S. of A. Amen. And I'm sure we got some pretty cool, amen, stuff to go out and fight other countries if time need be. Amen. But I ain't talking about stuff like that today, friend. I'm talking about a spiritual warfare. You got an adversary. His name is the devil. Some of us call him Slewfoot. Some of us call him Booger Bear. I don't care what you call him, but he's after your soul. Amen. And he's after to get you to do things that are not of God. He likes it when you don't come to church. He likes it when you listen to that old nasty music. He likes it whenever you put that old stuff into your body that ain't no good. He likes it whenever you fight and argue, buck and kick with your spouse. He likes it whenever you bow up to the man of God in your life. He likes it whenever you don't pay your tithes. He likes it whenever you don't read your Bible. He likes it whenever you don't pray like you need to pray. But I want you to know, you're in a spiritual warfare when you see things like that happening. You're in a place of breakdown. You're in a place, amen, where things aren't right and they need to be repaired. And you need to go through your temple. You need to go through your life. And you need to make a writing list of what you need to change in your life. And then you need to let God help you, because He gives you the weapons. Woo! That are from the divine. That word divine means they're of the heavenly, Brother Juan. Hey, man didn't make them. They come straight from God. And if God gives you something to whoop the devil with, you might as well take it to the bank. The old devil that's after you fixing to pick it up, and he's fixing to get out of Dodge, friend, because greater is he that is within sight of you than he that is in the world. Come on, saints of God. Get something inside of you that says, I'm going to live for God no matter what. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. He'll bring down the strongholds. He'll bring them down. I said he'll bring them down. They'll come crumbling down in front of you. Hallelujah. Reminds me of the wall of Jericho. Hallelujah. Hey, I don't know which one of them talking. It wasn't going to come down. But I want you to know, they kept on marching. Hallelujah. And they marched around 7 times. Hallelujah. And they blew them trumpets. And that last time they blew the trumpets, the walls came crumbling down. Woo! It could be your 7th time. You better keep marching. It could be your 7th time. You better keep putting one foot in front of the other. Hey, it could be your day.
Hallelujah.
I wonder how many of them said,
oh, come on.
You Bible scholars, who was that that took Moses' place? Joshua. How many of them you think could remember? There was a bunch of them. It wasn't like a little old church like us. We talking about all of God's people. They probably didn't even know who what's that guy's name again? Would somebody tell him my feet are tired? Would somebody tell him that I'm getting cramps in my calves? Would somebody please tell him that we don't need to march around here? We've marched around here 6 times. We've been to this place over and over. How many times have I seen this? I remember passing that stone a while ago. I remember passing that crevice in the dirt a while ago. Amen. I've been around here. Would somebody tell him that we need to stop this and just give up? Joshua says, keep on marching. Keep on marching. Hallelujah. Hey, y'all better get ready to sound the trumpet because it's almost time. Hallelujah. Hey, God done told me to blow them. Hallelujah. Hey, praise God. And all of a sudden, he said, sound the trumpets. Hallelujah. And the trumpets sounded and the walls came down and they took that land that God gave them. Hallelujah. Could this be the day? Keep repairing what you got to repair. Keep working. Hallelujah. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 9. I started to tell you that's the last scripture I got for you. I don't want to lie to you. Let's see what happens. Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 9. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship. Did anybody come into this house to worship God tonight? Amen. We all in agreement this is a place of worship. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it. Hallelujah. This feast was mandatory. All the men had to come. Lots of folks were there. Amen. And to keep everything in order, they had this set in place that
when you walked in one gate, you exited out another gate. If you came in through the north, you went out through the south. If you came in through the south, you went out through the north. So that there would be some order and it wasn't chaos and people running into each other. Hallelujah. But it also signified and it also represented those that come to the house of God to worship and join in communion with the saints should not return to their former ways and practices. It also was to signify, amen, it was also to represent, amen, that each should go out of the sanctuary another man than he came in. Hallelujah. Hey, come on. When you walk into the presence of God, you need to leave out a different way. Hallelujah. You might have came in here one way, but praise be to God, you can leave out another way. You might have came in this place today sad, but praise God, you can walk out the door happy. You might have came in here an old drunk, but you can walk out of here sober. You might have came in here sick in body, but rest assured you can walk out well tonight. Whatever you do, don't you ever come into the presence of God and leave out the same way that you came. That's not the will of God. That's not the will of God.
Anytime Jesus showed up, something happened.
Something changed. Somebody got healed. Amen. Everybody was talking. Amen. The Bible says rumors were abroad. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody got changed when they come into the presence of Jesus. I remember one time they had to lower a man down from the roof because the church house was too crowded to get him inside. But they knew that if they'd got him in the presence of Jesus, that their friend, amen, that was in on a cot, amen, that couldn't get up, could be touched and healed. And as they tore the roof down and let him down, before it was over with, Jesus said, "Thy sins are forgiven." And then a bunch of naysayers came in on the scene. He kind of put them back in their place. He said, "What's the bigger deal? Me forgiving him of his sins, or saying, take up thy bed and walk?" And it was right after that, he said, take up your bed and walk. Hallelujah. Ain't not one time do I believe that he went back up out of that roof to leave that place. No, sir, friend. Jesus done touched his body. He picked up that cot, and I imagine he went leaping, and he went joyously out the front door. When God touches you, you don't leave different. I mean, you don't leave the same way. You leave differently. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget that. Praise God. Praise God. When I walked in, there were some things that I was, but when I walked out, I wasn't some things no more. Hallelujah. You can stand. I've seen God do the miraculous work in folks' lives, especially as pastoring a church. I've seen God do some great things in folks' lives. I've seen them same folks testify about what God done for them and the goodness of God, and they go out the door right back into the same old slop they came from. That, my friend, is not the will of God. It's not His will that any should perish but have everlasting life. We can have that life-changing experience. You know why we can? Because He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the ultimate sacrifice. That's how we can have that life-changing experience. Every time that mallet hit the hand, the nails on that hand, you were on His mind. Whenever they drove them nails in His feet, and every time that mallet hit them nails, He was on His mind. Amen. He went through the pain. He went through the agony so that we wouldn't have to leave the same way that we came. I think we ought to come to the altar. I think we ought to find a place to pray. I think we ought to find a place to rejoice in the cross. Rejoice in the change that's been promised by God to those that will walk in the newness of life. Thank you, God. Just call upon His name. Just begin to speak to Him. Just begin to talk to Him. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Change comes in part of believing in yourself. That's part of change. You got to believe in yourself. But most importantly, you got to believe in God. It's not God's will that we leave the same way that we come. God help us.
In the name of Jesus.